Good afternoon. Happy Sabbath, everyone. The high priest Eli had two corrupt sons. And these were bad guys. These were rough characters. Hophni and Phinehas were their names, not Ferb. Now the sons of Eli, they were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. That's what it says about them in 1 Samuel 2. If you go there, we'll read another section there in just a second. But they would actually bully people offering meat at the temple. They would bully them, and they would take their meat before they had done all the things that God had instructed them. Before the fat was burned up, they would take the meat, and then they would say, hey, I'm going to take this meat from you, and if you don't give it to me, we're going to take it by force. That's what these guys were doing. And can you imagine someone at the home office here, right before you're about to give your offering, say, give me that offering. That's what these guys were doing. These guys were troublemakers here. They were sleeping with women that they would meet at the temple gate. And, you know, it's interesting. Eli, their father, he knew about it. He knew about it because everyone else told him. Everyone else. He heard about these things from everyone else. And he confronted them. He's like, how can you do this? How can you live your life this way? What are you guys doing? They were sinning against God. Everyone knew it. They were causing other people to sin. That's another good point for, you know, making sure that you pick good friendships, because these guys were troublemakers. They would cause other people to stumble. Now, there is a protagonist in this story, a young boy whose life was dedicated to God at a very young age. His name was Samuel. You remember Samuel? His mom was the one who was barren and couldn't have children and went to God and was praying at the temple and praying with all her heart that she would have a child. And it was Samuel, a young boy. Let's read what happens to Samuel as he grows up. 1 Samuel 2. We still see he's very young. 1 Samuel 2. Just one verse here. Verse 26 says, and the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. What a high compliment Samuel has here. He grew in favor with the Lord and with men. He had a reputation from those around him that was good. He had a good name for himself and a good name by God above. This same sentiment is written about Jesus in Luke 2:52. What an honor Samuel had at this point in his life. Do you value your reputation? Is that good enough? Or is there something deeper that we need to have as well? You see, these two sons of Eli, they had a reputation, corruptness and evil. It's interesting, you know, as you read through the book of Samuel, because you see these two characters, and then you see Samuel, they're humbly serving. A reputation is what others perceive about you. It's what people think, you know, oh, when I think about this person, this is what I sort of think. You know, it doesn't mean it's always the entire picture, but, you know, it's what others generally think about you. You know, it's interesting today, unlike at any other time in history, I think, because of social media, we can kind of have a say in what other people think about us. You know, with Facebook and Instagram, I could put, you know, all the good things out there about me. We can pretty much manufacture our own reputation. We can make it look like we live a life that we might not actually be living. It's interesting. When you see someone's profile, it's not necessarily exactly who they are. It's a very good curated version of that. It's not the whole thing. You're seeing the best of people's lives for the most part. It's Samuel was able to find favor with not only man, but also with God. That's different. That's different. It's much deeper than seeing someone's just surface-level reputation. Now, how deep does God see? Let's go to Revelation 3. Revelation 3. We could see that God has a pretty good insight on our character. This is coming in from the section that we read, the letters to the churches. There's so much that you can gather from these letters. In Revelation 3, I'll start reading in verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead." The New Living Translation says, "You have a reputation for being alive, but you're not. I know the truth." See, God sees our character. He sees deep inside who we really are. It's more than what other people see. Hear God saying, "Everyone else around you looks like it looks like you're alive. But the church in Sardis, not so. Not so." It's encouraging, though, because God does go on in verse 3. He says, "Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent." It's always encouraging. You know, here he is correcting them, saying, you're dead. But I remember, because I've always known your character, I remember a time when you heard and you received what you heard. It's encouraging because whatever good attributes we have, God sees that. He sees that, and he'll use that. He'll lead us to lean on that to overcome and grow. God sees deep. He sees not just a surface level of who we are, but he sees deep. You know, later in the book of 1 Samuel, the people decide, you know what? Samuel's sons ended up being corrupt as well. And so the people said, "We want a king. We want to be just like everybody else because we see your sons and we don't want them ruling us." So they asked for a king. And the first king that they chose on the outside looked pretty good. In fact, the Bible says, I forgot that it says this, it says that he was choice. It's not a word we use every day, but he said he was choice and handsome. Maybe I haven't heard it because no one has ever called me choice and handsome. But that's what Saul was. From the outside, he was this mighty man. But it doesn't take very long before we see his true colors. Choice and handsome, that was his reputation. He looked the part. And later on, when David is chosen as the king, the Bible reveals that God can see the heart of a man. So we see that a good reputation among people, though it's good, it's not a complete picture of the heart of someone. Finding favor among God requires something deep inside of us. We can't just have this sort of superficial politeness to win over God's favor. So what do? How do we find favor with not just man, but God as well? The Proverbs has a great scripture in Proverbs 3 that we can learn from today. Proverbs chapter 3. This is a way that we can find favor among God and man. Proverbs 3, start reading in verse 1. "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." Verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." This is beautiful. This is a beautiful words that we can learn from. Let not mercy forsake you. Let not truth forsake you. Both of these characteristics, they're honorable. They're honorable among God and man. You know, even if someone disagrees with us on a stance of truth, if we speak it with mercy, you can't help but admire that in someone. You know, Jesus did warn, there will be those who hate you because he was hated. Doesn't mean everybody will. We can still find favor among man and God. It's not a contradiction. Yeah, there will be some who absolutely disagree with us. But if we speak with mercy and truth, we'll find favor among man and God. That's why Jesus was able to say, "Blessed are the peacemakers," people who live a way of life that makes peace. In Romans, we read, if it's possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You know, we don't live lives being argumentative or condescending to people, but we speak with mercy and we speak truth. Samuel found favor among those around him and God in heaven. Making mercy and truth a central part of your character will help you achieve the same thing. I recognize that we're living our lives, we're overcoming, and our reputation is important. It's something very important. What's on the inside, our character, is what God sees as well, not just the outside. We see in Proverbs, a good name is to be chosen rather than riches. Proverbs 22:1. You know, a good name is important because Paul even wrote to the young minister, Timothy, saying that when you choose church leadership, it should be among someone with a good reputation. But that reputation needs to be driven by character. Live your life not making just a good name for yourself among men, but also to God as well. Do not forsake mercy or truth. How's your reputation among God and man?